From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of a message called The Sons of God Identified, the ninth in a series on Romans chapter 8. The text is verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." The phrase "led by the Spirit of God" is a reference to what Paul taught in the previous verse about mortifying the deeds of the body. It reminds us that the Holy Spirit is helping believers to live holy lives and leading them to heaven. Sanctification involves the believer obeying the Holy Spirit's directions for a life of holiness, directions which are found in the Word of God exclusively. Indeed, it is the Spirit's leading and the believer's obedience to it that proves one has been born again. The new birth brings the believer into a right relation to God. Through sanctification, the Christian is gradually transformed into God's image, a process that will be completed in heaven. Dr. Cairns will continue the message shortly. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Conquest to Victory. The text is found in Romans chapter 16 and verse 20. "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly." This promise follows well upon that of yesterday. We are evidently to be conformed to our covenant head, not only in his being bruised in his heel, but in his conquest of the evil one. Even under our feet is the old dragon to be bruised. The Roman believers were grieved with strife in the church, but their God was the God of peace and gave them rest of soul. The arch enemy tripped up the feet of the unwary and deceived the hearts of the simple, but he was to get the worst of it and to be trodden down by those whom he had troubled. This victory would not come to the people of God through their own skill or power, but God himself would bruise Satan. Though it would be under their feet, yet the bruising would be of the Lord alone. Let us bravely tread upon the tempter. Not only inferior spirits, but the prince of darkness himself must go down before us. In unquestioning confidence in God, let us look for speedy victory. Shortly, happy word, shortly we shall set our foot upon the old serpent. What a joy to crush evil! What dishonor to Satan to have his head bruised by human feet! Let us, by faith in Jesus, tread the tempter down.
Yeah.
Have you ever wondered what the message of each New Testament book really is? Not just the meaning of a phrase, a text, or even a chapter, but the central message of the entire book? If so, we're happy to offer you the opportunity to obtain a means of doing just that. A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns preached a series of messages in which he explained the teaching of each of the New Testament books. This series was published in a book entitled A Sure Foundation. These messages let you get a grasp of the heart of the New Testament's teaching and show you how relevant it is to your life in the modern world. A Sure Foundation tells you how to live in the light of the gospel, in the freedom of faith, and not in the gloom of guilt and frustration. This is not another how-to book of self-help tips. Its constant theme is the acceptance believers have with God because of the imputation of Christ's righteousness to them, which is the heart of the gospel. Let the Bible Speak has recently obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, and we're now making them available to our listening audience. The price for each copy of A Sure Foundation is $10, which includes shipping and handling. You may have a copy by sending your check for $10 made out to Let the Bible Speak to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. To reserve a copy, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Request your copy of A Sure Foundation today.
I don't know if the devil ever laughs. I wonder how such a malignant spirit could ever do anything but sneer. But if he did, he must be splitting his sides at the nonsense of so many Christians. You see, we're challenged about something. And it's a wee bit like me and my diet. I heard a dear brother from Colombia the other day, and he summed up a whole lot of it. He said, I think I've lost about 1,000 pounds in weight. The same 50 pounds. On and off, on and off, on and off, on and off. So a lot of us can understand what that's like. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to do this. I'm going to see my wife sniggering there because she knows rightly I'm not. But anyway, I'm going to do all this here. And you map it out. Work it all out there. Maybe you even go to write it down. You feel real good. Look what I have done. What have you done? Nothing. Nothing. Not a thing in the world. So many Christians are like that. Oh, I need to pray, I need to this, I need to that. And they sit down and they take stock of all that they need. And when they've told themselves all that they have to do and all they're going to do, they sit back, stick their chest out and say, man, this is great. But what have you done? Not a solitary thing. There has to come a time when the desire is channeled into action. That's where the energy of the Spirit leads us. Holy Spirit is not there to make you a dreamer. Now, don't misunderstand me. He will make you a thoughtful, meditating person. Yes, He'll let you think. I'm all in favor of thinking, thinking, and more thinking. But sooner than later, He's going to take the thoughts and put them into action. Then the tenth thing is more of a summation. It'll be the fruit of the Spirit. You've got that in Galatians chapter 5, in verse 22. You've got the ninefold fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruits, plural, of the Spirit. It's the fruit, singular, of the Spirit. Love. Love. Now let's stop there. That's the very first fruit. It's fundamental to everything else. I can't take time to preach in this. If you want to hear what I have to say on it, you've got to go and dig up the record of the first message I preached on the fruit of the Spirit many years back. Why love takes the first place. But let me say this to you. If you don't love God, you've no other fruit possible. If any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Let him be damned. Let him be accursed. This is not a fuzzy feeling people have, millions of them have around Christmas time as they sing sentimental little songs. That's not the love of Christ. Love for Christ is the submission of the whole heart and mind and will to Him as Savior and Lord, with a desire to promote His glory. If any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, that's the first fruit. That love of Christ will be translated that Christians, and let me make this clear, Christians should be loving people. Hard-heartedness should have no part of a Christian. Hard hearts in Scripture are abominated by God. That means sometimes there are things that rub us up the wrong way. Instead of getting harsh, mad, and even, we show the love of Christ. Love, joy, peace. Joy isn't happiness, by the way. It's much greater. You can be happy. I hope you will be. But there's some people get tied in knots here. Well, if I'm stricken with cancer, should I be happy that I've got cancer? Should I? And there's a sort of a super spirituality that says, well, I should sit down and say, thank you, Lord, for the gift of cancer. And you get on to the chemo. And the weakness sets into the body. And the pain becomes excruciating. There may not be much room for the emotion of happiness. But you can still rejoice in the Lord. Joy in the Lord is the pleasure we take in the things that God has revealed of Himself in Christ, especially of the great prospect that He has set before us through the merits of the Savior. That's joy. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. I better not go down the nine. Fruit of the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, you produce the fruit of the Spirit. If I could sum up all that Lloyd-Jones was saying in his 10 points, I'd go back to where I was at the beginning. The evidence that we're sons of God is this movement of the Spirit of God who indwells us, urging us, convicting us, enlightening our minds, stirring up our desires to mortify the deeds of the body, to live not as a debtor to the flesh, but as a debtor to grace and to God. What do I owe to Christ? What do I owe to Him? Here, Lord, I give myself away. That's the response of faith. And that's the evidence that you're sons of God. Some people who want to make this some sort of super spirituality, that you've almost got to be sinlessly perfect before you can ever claim to be one of the sons of God. Oh, God is calling for holiness. And this is meant to encourage and strengthen and give peace to God's people. Because you see, these are things that are so evident in the life of every born-again Christian. Any one of them, just any one of them, is an evidence. Yes, we are the sons of God. But most of all, the Holy Ghost moves us to mortify the flesh, the deeds of the body, and live in holiness. The final thing I'll say is this. Being sons of God describes not just a nominal privilege, but a life-defining relationship with God. To be among the sons of God means to be rightly related to God. Sin is dealt with. You're justified freely by the grace of God through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. And the righteousness of Christ is freely imputed to you by God's grace and received by faith alone. So you're rightly related to God. And second, you're closely related to God. There's a sort of a phenomenon of language here in this passage in Romans chapter 8. In verse 14, they are the sons of God. When you get down to the end of verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And many fine-spun theories have been worked out on why he moves from sons to children. Now, I believe that when God changes a word, there's a reason for it. May not always be the reason that I attribute to it, but he has a reason for it. Every word of God is pure. And every word of God is inspired. And it's there for a reason. So why does he make this change? Some folk come up with the notion that, all Christians are the children of God. But not all have reached this special peak of spirituality where they're sons of God. That the sons speak, expression speaks of a special advanced stage of sanctification. Utter absolute nonsense. Utter absolute nonsense. All these things are true of all of God's people. The sons are the children, and the children are the sons. So why then the distinction in the language? Well, you see, as he goes on here, he's going to deal, and I'm not going to get into it tonight, he's going to deal with our adoption. Now, adoption is very, very closely related to justification. Adoption is a legal transaction. We are legally the sons of God. We're rightly related to him. But that's not the totality of the story. We are not merely legally the sons of God. We are the children of God by a new birth. We are not only rightly related to God legally, we are closely related to God in that we are created anew in Christ. We are made, and there's an argument among interpreters as to whether this has happened or whether, as Calvin believes, this is the ultimate glorification. We are made partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. The meaning of that is that the image of God is absolutely and perfectly restored to God's people for all eternity, so that they're not only legally his sons, but they are, by virtue of being regenerated, they are the very children of God. They are like him. This is what he's talking about. As born again people, indwelt by the Spirit of God, there is a created image. When God created Adam, how did he create him? In the image of God, in the likeness of God. For centuries, people tried to distinguish between the image and the likeness. Some theologians still try to do it today. What is the image? It is a likeness. What is the likeness? It's the image. That's what he's saying. And when God brings us to a new creation, he brings us to a likeness to himself. That's what it is to be the sons of God. He commands us to be like him. Ephesians 5 verse 1, be ye therefore, the authorized version says, followers of God. That gives the meaning in practical terms. But the word is, be imitators of God. Be mimics of God. Man, how it would change our lives if every professing Christian, instead of trying to mimic Hollywood in looks and sound, instead of trying to mimic the people of this crazy, ungodly age, would set out to say, what does God say? Let me say it after him. What does God do? How does God act? Then let me live as he did and as he does. Let me be an imitator of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.